Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. We are still marching on with our study to the parables, which are not parables of the Quran. As you have seen so far, Muhammad ruined everything he copied from the Bible. So if we talk about the biblical accounts, which he changed to repeated stories all over the Quran with hardly any information, that nobody can figure out what Muhammad is talking about. So now we move to the parables of the Quran, and we discover that Muhammad, or those who helped him to write the poetry of the Quran, do not have even a clue. What does the word parable mean? To prove my point, let's launch another parable in the Quran, which I will call the parable of the dog. Yes, indeed, you heard me right, the parable of the dog. To understand the parable of the dog, we have to read the context from which that story was written. In the Quran, chapter 7, beginning with verse 175. And recite to them the news of him to whom we gave our verses, so he departed from it, so that Satan followed him. So he was of the seduced, and if we will, we would lift him up with it. But he clung to the earth and followed his desire. So his parable is like the parable of the dog, which pants if you chase him, or pants if you leave him alone. Such is the parable of those people who denied our verses. So narrate the stories, perhaps they may reflect. Now, when we read these verses in the Quran, there is no chance under the blue skies that anybody can tell me who is that person Allah is talking about. And to prove my point, I went to the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabri to ask, who is this man Allah is speaking of in Quran chapter 7 and verse 175? Because all what you read there is Allah is telling Muhammad, recite to them, them are the people of Quraysh, the news of him to whom we gave our verses. Now, who is that him? According to Muslim scholars, they told us that that person's name is Balaam ibn Eber. But others said no, actually his name is Balaam ibn Ba'ara. But others said his name is Balaam and he was from the people of Yemen. But others said he was actually from the Canaanites. Others said he actually is Amia ibn Abi al-Salat. And another opinion was that he is Balaam Ba'ara. You see what's happening here? We are talking about six different people. And the scholars of Islam do not know which is the one Allah is speaking about. Now, what about when Allah said we gave him our verses? What does Allah mean by our verses? Also, scholars disagree. Some said he received one of the books of Allah, or he receives a prophethood, or he actually receives a great name of Allah. I do not know how that man receives a great name of Allah. And the story goes on to the long paragraphs as the scholars of Islam made up so many stories about that man who was asked by another man to curse the children of Israel, to curse Prophet Moses. And he told them he cannot do that because he knows that Allah's angels are with Prophet Moses and he could not curse them. And somehow they bribed him and he accepted the bribery. That's why Allah took away the verses, the book of Allah or the prophethood or the great name of Allah from him. And Allah removed the knowledge from him and he became of those who were destroyed. Amazingly, once again, the contradiction moved on that when this man was on his way to curse the children of Israel after he received the bribery, that his donkey refused to move. and he was working hard with his donkey, beating his donkey, and his donkey spoke to him, and his donkey said to him, "Can't you see what is between your hands or what is between me and you?" And that's when that man realized that it was the devil. Yes, Satan was between him and his donkey. Or here is a contradiction. Scholars claim that the donkey told him, "Can't you see the angels of Allah between me and you?" So he looked and he saw that the angels of Allah was between him and his donkey. This is a problem with Muslim scholars. That's why I call them in my book, Exposes the Truth About the Quran, The Revelation of Error, Muslim Dumbers. Yes, indeed, that is a perfect name for them. There is no Muslim scholar. If it is Al-Tabari or Ibn Kathir, if it is Al-Qurtubi or Al-Jalalain, all these interpretations were because of the word him in the Quran. I'm sorry to tell you, these are not scholars. If they do not know the name of the person and they give me six names and I have to choose one of them is Arab from Yemen. And if they do not know, what did he saw? Did he see Satan or did he saw the angels? The story obviously is taken from the Bible and it is corrupted. When I say corrupted, I meant Allah himself did not know jack about what he's talking about and he destroyed the biblical account in his one verse of the Quran, which he does not give us any information. Let me remind you again, what I read in that verse is very simple. Allah is asking Muhammad to recite to the people the news of him, H-I-M, to whom Allah gave his verses. Who is that him? Nobody knows. Obviously, Muslim scholars copied the story of Prophet Palam from the Bible to make their own fabrication. The best way to understand who is that man and what is exactly going on in his story, we have to go to the book of Numbers chapter 22 to learn about the mystery of him in the Quran so we can understand the mystery of the parable of the dog, which comes obviously in the following verse, that is verse 176. We encourage you to read the entire account in the book of Numbers beginning from chapter 22. But here is the summary of what took place between King Balak and Prophet Balaam. Balak, king of Moab, is terrified of the large number of the Israelites coming near his land. He sent messengers to Prophet Balaam asking him to come and curse the children of Israel so that Moab might defeat them. Balaam consulted God, who told him not to curse Israel because they are blessed. Balaam refuses to go with the messengers. Balak, on the other hand, sent more prestigious messengers, offering great reward. Balaam asked God again, and this time God allowed him to go, but only if he speaks God's words. On the way, God's anger is kindled against Balaam. The angel of the Lord blocked his path, but only Balaam's donkey saw the angel. After the donkey turned to the side three times, God opened the donkey's mouth to speak to Balaam. Finally, God opened Balaam's eyes and he saw the angel. The angel warns Balaam to only say what God tells him. Balaam repented and continues his journey. In the book of Numbers chapter 23 and 24, we read about the four times where Prophet Balaam blessed the children of Israel instead of cursing them, which causes King Balak to be so angry. In the book of Numbers chapter 31 and verse 16, we learn about the suggestion which was given by Prophet Balaam to King Balak, that if the children of Israel will sin against God by committing adultery with the women of Moab, then the curse of God will be on them. And that's exactly what happened. For in the book of Numbers chapter 25 verses 1 to 3, we read, "Now Israel remained in Achaia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. This is the true biblical account, which Muslim scholars claim that that's what Muhammad was talking about in Quran chapter 7 and verse 175. That is when Allah said, and recite to them the news of him to whom we gave our verses.
The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is excited to announce our creation of two new convenient materials to help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled, The Straight Way to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin? We have produced a small, convenient tract that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstand Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. But is this true? This new booklet, titled The Violent Truth About Islam, examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arise from the very words of Allah and the example of Muhammad's life. Please visit thestraightway.org for ordering information. And now, back to our show.
We continue in verse 175. So he departed from it. From what? From the verses of Allah. No, Prophet Balaam actually went with the men whom King Balak sent, and four times he blessed the children of Israel instead of cursing them. Continuing with the Quran, so that Satan followed him. No, Satan did not follow Balaam, because as we read in chapter 24, he actually left the king without cursing the children of Israel. Quran 7 verse 175 ended with, so he was of the seduced. Once again, Prophet Balaam was not seduced at all. Now let's move on to verse 176 to learn about the parable of the dog. Here is the word of Allah. And if we will, we would lift him up with it. Lift whom with what? Oh, lift the prophet, which Muslim scholars do not know which one, because they obviously gave us six different names, with the signs, or the book, or the prophethood, or the verses, or whatever other opinion was given by so-called Muslim scholars. But Allah continued to say, he clung to the earth and followed his desires. Once again, that is not accurate. If Allah is speaking of Prophet Balaam, this is not true. And I love it how Muslim scholar in their interpretation went on and on and on to tell us it means actually he loved the riches of this world or whatever. No, no, no. The verse of the Quran is very clear. He actually lived on earth for a long time. That's not what we read in the Bible. For we know that he was actually killed by the sword, because he is the one who causes the children of Israel to sin against God with the women of Moab. For in the book of Numbers, chapter 31 and verse 8, we read, they, these are the children of Israel, killed the kings of Midian with the rest of those who were killed, Owi and Rakim and Sur and Hur and Rabbah. These are the five kings of Midian. And then the Bible said, and Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. That is exactly how was the end of Prophet Balaam. So now let us look at the parable of the dog. For in verse 176 of Quran chapter 7, Allah said, so his parable is like the parable of the dog. Which pants if you chase him, or pants if you leave him alone? Excuse me, what? Yeah, that is a parable of the Quran to the man we do not know. Let me read it to you again in case you missed it. Allah said, so his parable is like the parable of the dog, which pants if you chase him, or pants if you leave him alone. Where is the parable? Where is the story? Where is the hidden message which we need to investigate to figure out the great words of Allah in the Quran? Don't forget, Muslim believe, every verse in the Quran is a miracle. Yes, indeed, that is a miracle right now. Now we know for sure, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that Muhammad is a great prophet. Why? Because we got another verse in the Quran which shows a great miracle, the word of Allah. The miracle of the parable of the dog. Continue with verse 176. For Allah said, such is the parable of those people who denied our verses. What verses? For heaven's sake, Allah does not have one verse in the Quran from which I can figure out that Muhammad had anything to do with the prophethood. The entire Quran is a counterfeit. I'm sorry, a dumb counterfeit. That's the right word for that which is written in the Bible. Even when Muhammad is making parables in the Quran, he does not know what parable is. And here we go. That man which we do not know who is he, his parable is like the dog. If you chase him, he will pant. And if you leave him alone, he will pant. Man, oh man, what a great verse in the Quran. Allah ended verse 176 by stating, so narrate the stories. Perhaps they may reflect. What story? We never heard the story yet. All what we know from that parable of Muhammad is nothing. And the story about that parable was taking place. The man which we do not know who is he, and which we do not know what is his story. This is it. The Quran is blah, 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 blah. Exactly. There is no point of even reading or wasting our time to read such verses. And people will reflect on nothing. Why Muslims are Muslims? Because I believe if that is the reason why Muslims are Muslims, they have nothing to reflect on. Therefore, they are just empty-headed. They believe in a child molester, a sex offender, a prophet pretender, a womanizer, an adulterer, a thief, a thug, a terrorist by the name Muhammad. And somehow he wrote that wonderful Quran for us. And we must believe in him and his Quran simply because it is the miracle of Muhammad, the Quran. If it was the stories taken from the Bible or his own invented parables, which have nothing to do with any parable at all. Maybe someone would say, well, brother Usama, you're not a scholar. You do not know exactly what Allah is talking about concerning that dog. Well, let me read to you, my dear friends, what the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabri said about that dog. Here it is, in his own words. Al-Tabri said, Allah Almighty says, so the parable of this one, which we do not know who is he, to whom we gave our signs, then he left them, is like the parable of the dog that pants, whether you chase him or leave him alone. Then Al-Tabri said, the interpreter disagree on the reason why Allah made the parable of that man like the parable of the dog. Some of them said he used the parable of the dog who pants because he did not practice the commands of the words of Allah. And he also left the verses of Allah which he gave to him because he left the sermons of Allah and turned aside from it like the one who did not receive anything from Allah. So Allah said, it is the same. If you order him to preach the word of Allah, which he have given to him, or if he did not preach, because he will not learn from it, and he will not leave infidelity. So he is like the dog, which is the same. If you kick him out, or if you did not kick him out, he pants. Do you understand anything, my friends? Welcome to the great interpreter of the Quran, Al-Tabari himself. When you read the interpretation of such scholar, you come to the conclusion that the man does not know what he's talking about. Or maybe he's so ignorant of knowledge to talk about anything. And here he is, the great scholar, to interpret a verse in the Quran which does not have any meaning.
You could not tell me, using the parable of a dog, to help me to understand of the story of Prophet Balaam, because there is no connection whatsoever between the dog who pants if you leave him alone or if you chase him, because this have nothing to do with Prophet Balaam. Mujahid also gave us another interpretation. He said, if you kicked him, it is the parable of the one who reads the book but does not live by it. The great scholar Ibn Jarir said, the dog does not have heart. So if you chase him, he will pant. And if you leave him alone, he will pant. Like the one who leaves a guidance, he have no heart. Surely he is heartless. I'm sorry, I don't believe dogs do not have any heart. I know Muhammad hates dogs, especially black dogs, because he believes that black dog is demon possessed. But dogs have hearts. Dogs are man's best friend. I believe dogs are better than any Muslim who practice Islam. Those are the jihadi, the violent, the savage Muslim believers. So I can go on and on and on to read you the fabrication, not interpretation, of so-called Muslim scholars trying to understand anything about that dog which Allah mentioned in the Quran, and we will come up with no conclusion. But here is my conclusion. We discover today not only Muhammad does not know parables, but Muhammad does not know what he is talking about, especially when he quotes a hint about some prophet from the Bible and the Quran without giving us any information or any details to figure out what in the world Muhammad was talking about in the Quran. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.